Previously on Grandpa's Globe, Sawyer and Susie time-spun back to Greece, where they convinced young Kip to continue helping them look for their Grandma Ellie. They lied and said their family was rich and that they would reward him with a magical artifact, the Dansatoire, whatever that is. Kip agreed to help, and they headed to the Dominican Republic. There they found a pirate and his men in white suits forcing young Ellie to help them find the King Conch, an artifact that allows you to breathe underwater. The rescue didn't go well. Ellie was connected to the pirate by a rope, and the bad guys took off before Kip could rescue her. When Kip reported back to the twins, they realized that they were dealing with Captain Drake. And now for Season 3, Episode 3, Just Perusing. The Purple Rocket Podcast presents Grandpa's Globe, Season 3. The sun peeked its head over the distant green mountains. Light spilled over the countryside, giving the low fog an orange glow. Sitting above the fog, high in Grandpa Boone's backyard, was a large treehouse. Grandpa had agreed, after some heated discussion, to allow the twins to sleep in it for the night. But Susie hadn't slept much. Her mind was racing with thoughts of how to rescue Grandma. This mission was proving far more difficult than she had imagined. She had hoped it would be a one-and-done mission. Boy, was she wrong. It didn't help that young Kip was as stubborn as a donkey. None of it seemed to bother Sawyer. He was snoozing in a hammock at the back of the room. There came a light knock on the floor's trap door. A second later, it opened and Grandpa's head appeared. "Good morning," he whispered. A chorus of birdsong poured into the room when he opened the door. "Good morning," Susie whispered back. Grandpa climbed in and shut the door. Susie could tell the climb was difficult for him, with his back still healing. He hadn't made it any easier on himself, trying to carry a plate of waffles. "Grandpa, where's your cane?" Susie ran over and grabbed the plate from him and set it on a small table. Grandpa straightened uncomfortably.
"Oh, I've got to practice getting around without it if I ever want to move like I used to. How's the hand?"
Susie held up both her hands. A few fingers were now fading on each hand. The sensation was strange. Felt like the tips of those fingers were there, but they were numb like she'd been making a snowman without gloves.
"Yeah, I figured that would be the case," Grandpa said with a sigh. "I brought you both these so we don't draw any attention to your disappearing act."
He handed her a pair of gloves and set Sawyer's pair on the table. Susie tried hers on. They were black leather and fit perfectly. She wouldn't have been surprised if Grandpa had been out shopping late last night to get them. She nodded to the lump in the hammock. "Want me to wake him?"
Let him rest a little longer. We need his mind sharp and alert. I can reheat his waffle if necessary."
Grandpa and Susie sat at the little table. Susie dug into her waffle, which was decorated with a huckleberry spread and topped with whipped cream. Around it, decorating the plate, was an assortment of fresh fruit, bacon, and a perfectly fried egg. It looked so nice, Susie felt bad cutting into it. "How long have you been up?" Susie asked.
Grandpa chuckled. "A while. After you get some food in you, I want to hear more about what happened in the Dominican Republic. I'm intrigued by this pirate character."
Susie finished a few bites and set down her fork. She hesitated. "We think it was Captain Drake." Grandpa's whole face wrinkled.
"Captain Drake? Impossible. He wasn't born yet when Ellie and I met, and a dead person can't time spin."
"I know it sounds crazy, but based on your younger self's description, it had to be. The coin-covered clothes, the obsession with magical artifacts. Who else could it be?" He was using Grandma to get the king conch. Grandpa leaned back and scratched his beard.
This is strange. The king conch is a rare artifact that neither Ellie nor I ever possessed. Events are taking an unpredictable turn.
He thought for a moment.
As far as I'm concerned, when Ellie and I first met, no one at that time knew of her extensive research into those artifacts. What was it you promised young Kip if he helped?
Susie shook her head. I can't remember what it was called exactly. Sawyer got Kip to say it for him. The Dansatori?
Grandpa's face sank. The Dansatori?
That's the one.
Grandpa slumped in his chair. That magical music box was my obsession for many years. I never found it, and nor will you. I won't be happy when I find out you don't have it.
Don't look at me. That was all Sawyer's idea. I'm hoping when your younger self falls in love with Ellie, the reward becomes irrelevant.
Oh, you underestimate how selfish I was. Now that the first date was disrupted, it is going to be extremely difficult to get us together. The setting of that date was perfect. The restaurant, the food, the conversation. I don't know how you're going to recreate it.
I'm hoping the guidebook helps, Susie said, taking a bite of her bacon.
Relying on the guidebook would be wise, Grandpa agreed.
Do you have any more gadgets that could help? Susie asked.
You know, ask young Kip if he has any gadgets you can use. That's around the time I started tinkering with that hobby, and I didn't have much confidence in myself back then. Your encouragement may give my creative juices a kickstart.
Susie smiled. That's a great idea.
When you finish your breakfast, wake your brother and meet me in the study. Hopefully that globe's turning by now.
Sounds good. Susie finished her breakfast and woke Sawyer, who scarfed down his plate of food in a matter of seconds. Then, putting on their new gloves, they climbed down the treehouse ladder and headed into the house. Grandpa was waiting for them in the study, and just as he'd predicted, the upside-down globe was spinning.
Here you go,
he said, handing Susie a backpack with the guidebook and King Conch. Taking a deep breath, Sawyer and Susie joined hands and Susie touched the globe. A moment later, they appeared near a cafe in Santo Domingo. Young Kib was sitting at a table outside, sipping from a mug and reading the newspaper. He wore a gray cardigan and had his big black hair combed into a wave to one side. He spit his drink when he saw the twins. A lady at the table across from him looked down at her wet shirt in disgust.
How do you keep doing that? He said.
Doing what? Sawyer asked. Kip leaned in and whispered.
Sneaking off and then disappearing.
You got a couple turns ahead of me in that canyon, and then you were gone.
Sorry, Susie said. We were in a hurry to report back to our family. You ready to go? Kip threw back the rest of his drink.
I guess. Where to?
Susie checked the guidebook. Their destination appeared on the page. Peru, she said. Using magical plane tickets from the guidebook, they headed to South America. Thanks to magic travel, the trip was over quickly. Once again, Kip slept through the flight and only managed to get a few minutes of shut-eye.
I swear I've been sleeping deeper ever since I started helping you guys, he said as they landed. You must be working me too hard.
Sawyer and Susie laughed.
That must be it, Susie said.
As a cab drove them to their first destination, Susie read about Peru. The world's largest rainforest, the Amazon, covers almost half of Peru. Peru is the third largest country in South America and has a diverse landscape of deserts, beaches, rainforests, and the second highest mountain range in the world, the Andes. Outside their window, sharp, jagged mountain peaks rose above the green countryside. A funny-looking furry animal with a long neck grazed on a hill. Sawyer smashed his face against the window.
No way! Llamas! Oh, pull over! I want to see them up close!
Don't listen to him, Susie told the cab driver. He can see the llamas some other time. She poked Sawyer in the ribs.
We have more important things to worry about. You think Grandpa would be happy if we stopped to pet some llamas?
Grandpa? Kip frowned at them. What does your grandpa have to do with this?
Susie and Sawyer exchanged a worried glance.
He's the one who's paying for the mission, Susie quickly said. He's the one who'll give you the reward.
Yeah, you two have a lot in common, Sawyer snorted.
Gah! Susie elbowed him. Kip eyed them suspiciously. Before he could entertain his suspicions, Susie tried to change the subject by reading more out of the guidebook.
Llamas have been used as pack animals in Peru for thousands of years. The main languages spoken here are Spanish and Quechua.
Quechua?
Sawyer scrunched his face.
Never heard of it.
It's the language spoken by the Inca people, Kip explained, gazing out the window.
The Incan people ruled the Peruvian highlands several hundred years ago. It was the largest empire in America during the pre-Columbian era. They thrived for hundreds of years before the Spanish conquistador Francisco Pizarro and his people took over. The Inca worshipped these mountains as gods. We aren't far from their capital city, Cusco.
But I thought Lima was the capital of Peru.
Susie double-checked the notes on the page.
It is, but Cusco was the center of Incan civilization. Lima didn't become Peru's official capital until their independence in 1821.
That's not that long ago, Susie said.
No, it isn't. And this place, he nodded out the window, is one of the most famous ancient cities in the world, Machu Picchu.
The twins looked out the window and gasped. Clouds parted and revealed an ancient mountaintop city. Perched atop steep green peaks were the remains of stone buildings. Susie finally pulled her eyes away to read the words appearing on the page.
Welcome to Machu Picchu, also known as the Lost City of the Incas. Many archaeologists believe this was built as a royal estate for the Inca ruler Pachacutec. It may have been used as his retreat and had a staff of over 700 people who lived there year-round. The step-up stone terraces were used for farming, and there were temples, dwellings, pools, and everything a city would need to survive.
Susie was becoming more impressed with the place the more she read. Under all of the interesting information, their next set of instructions appeared in inky blotches that curved into words.
Go to the Temple of the Sun.
Susie told the cab driver to stop up ahead. Then they followed the directions to the top of Machu Picchu. It was quite the climb. As they ascended the stone steps to the city remains, Susie felt butterflies in her stomach.
I didn't realize how high up this would be, she said, glancing down the perilous cliffs around the green terraces.
It looked like someone picked up a little stone village and dropped it onto a mountaintop. The view was incredible. Clouds hugged jagged peaks, some of which looked like moss-covered fangs. Other peaks looked like claws dipped in icing. Down below, the Urubamba River snaked between the base of the mountains. The elevation was dizzying. Even though Susie stood on a flat, grassy terrace, she felt like she could fall off at any moment. Sawyer, of course, wasn't fazed by heights. His attention was immediately drawn to a llama grazing on a nearby hill. He ran over to it.
Yes! Hey there, little guy!
He stopped next to the llama and reached out to pet it. The llama raised its head, stared at him, and then went back to chewing grass. It seemed unbothered as Sawyer pet its spongy brown and white fur.
I think he likes me, Sawyer said. I'm gonna name him Pichu. Is that grass good, huh, Pichu? Pichu, Pichu.
Pichu made a humming noise and ducked his head under Sawyer's hand to get a nice head scratch.
I love your hair, Sawyer told him.
Then he turned to Kip and Susie and announced,
I know which hairstyle I'm going to try next.
Pichu did have a pretty wild tuft of brown hair between his pointy ears. It looked like he'd just stepped out of a shower and had taken a blow dryer to it. Susie approached him and gave his long neck a good scratch. Kip remained a few steps back with his arms folded.
All right, kids, you've visited the petting zoo.
Can we continue?
Come on, Sawyer, Susie said. He's right. We need to keep going.
Okay. Come on, Pichu.
Sawyer tugged on Pichu's fur, and the llama followed. Kip stopped him.
We aren't bringing that thing with us. It'll give us away.
No, you won't, will you, Pichu? You're gonna be as quiet as can be, aren't you, as you are?
Sawyer was talking with a baby voice that made even Susie cringe. He hugged the llama like it was his favorite stuffed animal.
Yes, you would, you're so cute, you're...
Kip stepped in.
Llama, stay.
Pichu took one look at him, stopped chewing, and then... spit in his face. Sawyer glared at Kip.
His name's Pichu.
Kip wiped the muck from his eyes.
Yeah, I got that.
Keep him quiet, will ya?
He'll be quiet. They continued hiking around the ancient city ruins, trying to find the Temple of the Sun. As they walked, Susie thought it'd be a good idea to give Kip some tips for when he and Ellie reunited. She really likes tulips.
Who? Ellie?
Yeah. She loves tulips, reading, and the ballet.
Ballet? Really?
Uh-huh. She is a ballet dancer. I don't think she does it competitively, but it's just something she likes to do for fun. Her mom was a famous ballerina in Romania. She's the one who taught her. She also does a lot of yoga to stay flexible and relaxed.
Why are you telling me this?
Because you're going to have to win her trust.
Rescuing her isn't going to make her trust me?
That will help, but Ellie's a particular person. If you want her to listen to you, you're going to have to get her to like you.
Like me? That wasn't part of the job description?
Susie stopped. Look, just be nice to her, okay?
I'm always nice,
Kip said with his usual deep frown.
Whatever you say,
Susie quietly sighed. They continued to walk. It was a good thing Kip was handsome, because if they were relying on his charm alone to win over Ellie, they'd be doomed. Discreetly, she pulled off her glove to check how her fingers were doing. To her dismay, they had faded a little more. Putting the glove back on, she looked back at Sawyer, who had put a blue alpaca sweater over his pet llama.
What? He said. I found it lying around.
Doesn't he look good? He's like a stylish little camel. Yes, you are. Stylish little camel with your boo-boo.
He gave Pichu another squeeze, and the llama hummed happily. Susie shook her head and continued hiking next to Kip.
Do you have any gadgets on you? She asked him.
Kip was surprised by the question.
I still can't believe you knew about that. I've only recently been tinkering with stuff. None of them are very good, and in fact, most of the time they backfire in some way.
Susie didn't like the sound of that, but she remembered what her grandpa had told her. Be encouraging.
I'm sure they're great, she said with a smile. I'd love to see what you've been working on.
Kip reluctantly pulled out what looked like a black burrito with wire spilling out of it. The thing looked so poorly constructed, Susie was sure it was about to explode in his hands. She pretended to be impressed.
Wow, that looks awesome. What does it do?
I call it the fizzle stick. It makes electronics go bananas. I've ruined 3 TVs with this thing. Set me back a chunk of change. They were nice TVs.
It ruins TVs?
Susie was struggling to stay impressed.
Among other things, yes. I haven't found a good use for it yet, but it's a start.
It's a great start, Susie said. My family was right. You do have a knack for gadgets. Kip seemed pleased with the compliment. He tucked the fizzle stick away and patted his pocket. They reached a P-shaped stone wall with window cutouts and a doorway.
This is it, Kip said. The Temple of the Sun.
Sawyer and Susie didn't look impressed. There wasn't much left of the structure. The most interesting feature was the voices coming from inside.
Keep digging,
Captain Drake barked.
How far down do we need to go? It shouldn't be too deep,
Ellie's voice answered. The sound of shovels scooping earth carried through the windows. Sawyer, Susie, Kip, and Pichu sat against the outside wall, listening. Kip felt something tugging at his hair. He turned to see the llama grazing on his head.
Hey,
Kip whispered, yanking his bangs out of Pichu's mouth.
I hope that hair wax makes you sick.
Pichu spit in his face again and went right back to calmly chewing grass.
I hate llamas, Kip whispered as he wiped the guck off his nose.
I found it,
cried a voice in the temple. There were sounds of shuffling and excitement. Kip and the twins peeked through the window and saw the pirate reach down into a hole and pull out a little wooden flute. He held it as if it were a nice piece of jewelry.
El canto del pájaro,
he said. What is that? Sawyer whispered. Kip's eyes were huge.
It exists, he said to himself. That artifact is said to call all the birds in the area. Its song entrances them.
Wow, Susie whispered. She watched as Captain Drake raised the flute to his lips and blew into it. A sweet little note echoed through the temple. Around him, the men in white suits looked to the sky. The sound of squawking approached. Dots swirled overhead. More and more of them appeared. Soon, thousands of birds circled over the temple. Condors, owls, sparrows, lapwings, hummingbirds. Every bird imaginable joined the fluttering mass above. Susie nodded to Ellie. She's not tied to Captain Drake anymore. Kip considered their surroundings.
This isn't the place to snatch her. They must have gotten here using a vehicle. Multiple vehicles given the size of the group. How do we know which cars are theirs? Sawyer asked, stroking his llama. We'll have to hope there's a clue. Come on.
With a growing tornado of birds overhead, Kip and the twins hurried back down the trail to the parking lot. Luckily, it had been a slow day for the attraction thanks to a sign Captain Drake and his men had put up at the head of the trail, warning visitors that Machu Picchu was closed. But there were still a dozen vehicles in the parking lot. They walked by them, looking for something that would stink of bad guys. Here they are, Sawyer announced, pointing to a tall black van in between two black SUVs. Their colors match.
That's not enough to know for sure, Susie said.
Well, Pichu here went right to the van and started sniffing. He also peed on the wheel, which is kind of gross. My guess is they used the van to store all the artifacts they're stealing and make Ellie ride in the back passenger seat. Drake sits up front with the driver, and all the other men in white follow behind in the big SUVs.
Kip and Susie looked at each other impressed. They walked up to the back of the van. Kip pulled out something that looked like a metal toothpick and started picking the lock on the door. They could hear voices coming down the trail. The swarm of birds at the top of the mountain had scattered.
They're coming, Susie whispered.
I almost got it.
Click! The back door popped open. Inside the back of the van were several big boxes. Kip hesitated.
Are we sure about this?
Susie hopped in and opened one of the boxes. She pulled out a gold and silver pirate dagger and held it up.
Sawyer was right.
Don't act so surprised,
Sawyer said, climbing in after her with his llama. Kip hopped in and shut the doors behind him.
What are you doing?
Kip whispered to Sawyer. Sawyer was helping Pichu hide behind a box next to him.
What does it look like I'm doing? I'm helping Pichu get comfortable. It's gonna be a bumpy ride, so you can't bring that thing in here? It'll give us away.
Pichu's dull, furry face slowly swiveled on its long neck to look at Kip.
Oh, no. No, 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 no.
Spit splattered on Kip's face.
Go.
The voices outside were much louder now. They could hear men talking and car doors opening and closing all around them. This was it, Susie thought. They were hitching a ride with the bad guys.
She quietly checked the guidebook for instructions. All she saw were the words, "Be patient. When you hear the sounds of the city, fizzle." Confused, she closed the guidebook and held it against her chest. She could hear Ellie and Drake's voices in their van on the other side of the wall.
"See, that wasn't so bad,"
Drake was saying.
"You're doing well. What are you going to do with it?"
Ellie's voice asked.
"That's not important. Just having it for when I do need it is all that matters. Can I get you something to drink? Water? Soda?" "I'm fine. Is the air cool enough for you back there?" "I said I'm fine."
Sawyer and Susie scrunched their faces. Drake was being surprisingly nice to her.
"Very well,"
Drake's voice said.
"If you need anything, let me know. You can let me go. In due time, lassie. In due time." "Where to, sir?"
came another voice.
"Lima."
The van started to drive, and they could hear the other two cars follow behind them, just as Sawyer had predicted. Kip and the twins bounced around in the back as the van wound through the mountains. To everyone's relief, Pichu stayed surprisingly quiet during the trip. Even if he had made some noise, it wouldn't have likely been heard over the music playing on the van's radio. Captain Drake was rocking out to classical orchestra music. After a lengthy drive, they finally started to hear other cars around them. Lots of cars. Honking, braking, and accelerating. The van was slowing down. Susie could tell they were in a city. A city. She opened the guidebook and read the words again. "When you hear the sounds of the city, fizzle. Fizzle." She turned to Kip. "Quick, hand me your fizzle stick." Kip's head snapped back. "What? Why? Just hand it to me, please." Kip pulled out the wire-filled metal burrito and handed it to her. "Careful, I spent a lot of time. Hey, careful." Susie started pressing buttons on it. "You just press that little black button there," Kip said. Susie pressed the button. Suddenly, the music blared in the van and the horn honked uncontrollably.
"What's going on?"
Drake roared.
"I don't know,"
said the driver.
"Everything's going haywire."
Several other cars around them started honking uncontrollably as well.
"Pull over,"
Drake ordered. The van came to a stop and they could hear doors open and shut. Drake, Ellie, and his men were getting out. Kip nodded at Susie. "Not bad, missy." "Thanks." Susie noticed new words appearing on the guidebook page. She read them aloud. "Kip, you take Ellie to the Circuito Mágico del Agua. Sawyer and I will meet you there later. But first we have to split up to confuse them." "Split up?" Kip said. "Are you sure that's a good idea? Lima's a big place." "Don't worry, we'll find you," Susie assured him. "How do we know when to jump out?" Sawyer asked, using Pichu as a pillow. Before Susie could answer, a voice outside said,
"Check the back and make sure nothing fell out."
Seconds later, the van's back doors clicked and swung open. Startled, Pichu sprang up and ran at the doors. The man in the white suit froze. "What the?" Pichu spit in his face and the man cowered back. "Now!" Susie shouted. She, Sawyer, and Kip jumped out from behind the boxes and ran out of the van. Pichu was outside, spitting in the face of every bad guy that approached. Men in white dropped left and right, wiping spit from their eyes.
"My eyes!"
Some took shelter.
"It's a demon llama!"
one of them cried. Kip and the twins came around the side of the van and saw Ellie standing there, confused by the scene. Drake was on the other side of the van, trying to figure out what the heck was going on. Ellie was shocked to see them. "You again?" Without wasting another second, Kip grabbed her hand and ran off through the honking traffic. Sawyer and Susie took off in the other direction. They could hear Captain Drake's furious voice behind them shout,
"Fools! They're getting away!"
By the time Kip and Ellie reached the Parque de la Reserva in downtown Lima,
The sun was setting. No one was around them. The honking cars were long gone. There was no sign of the twins. Kip looked around in a panic. They're supposed to meet us here.
Who?
Ellie asked, composing herself much better than Kip.
The twins, your family.
Twins? My family is coming to pick me up? Here?
Kip kept glancing around.
Look, Ellie, I don't know who these people are. I'm just here to do a job.
And that is?
To get you home.
Ellie smiled and Kip's wild gaze stopped on her. His expression softened. For a moment, all of his worries melted away. She was beautiful. Her eyes were as green as a forest in springtime. He found himself unable to look away.
If that's why you're here, then thank you, she said.
You're welcome.
Ellie started to walk down a path, and Kip walked with her. All around them, fountains curled and swayed over ponds, backlit by white and blue lights. Colorful fountains filled the park with magic. Some shot high like geysers surrounded by rings of smaller fountains. Other fountains shot up in colorful red rows, resembling a pipe organ. Another series of fountains shot out in a circle before curving back into a pond, forming a purple glowing donut of water.
I don't think those guys will find us here, Ellie said. So let's go for a walk.
I'd like that, Kip said.
They strolled by the fountains and flower gardens, admiring the beautiful displays. They walked under an arched fountain tunnel.
Who are those men and what's with the pirate?
I don't know, Ellie admitted. They're trying to find some important things around the world and need my help.
The magical artifacts?
Ellie's eyes widened.
You know about them?
I do. There aren't many people in the world who study ancient magical history. Most people who've heard of these things think they're just stories.
Ellie nodded.
You know your stuff.
So do you.
Ellie sniffed him.
No offense, but you smell like llama.
Seriously? Stupid peach you spitting on me every 2 seconds.
He splashed water over his face. There, is that better? Ellie gave him another sniff and smirked.
Better.
She suddenly realized how close she was to Kip. She looked up at him for a brief moment before catching herself and continuing to walk down the path.
So, you still have the King Conch?
Your family has it. Once we get you back, you'll be able to do plenty of scuba diving with it.
Ellie laughed.
I'm not much of a scuba diver. I hate the feeling of my ears popping.
Me too, Kip laughed. Feeling like my head's gonna explode isn't my idea of a good time.
Ellie stopped.
Back in Greece, I saw you in that boat trying to save me. I was pretty gutsy. I take it my family hired you to do that? Was the whole surfing routine for show?
Kip ran a hand through his dark Elvis hair.
Actually, I was recruited after the fact. Perhaps I'd proven my valor to your family, or better said, my rash stupidity. So they hired me for the job.
Ellie shook her head.
Well, thank you for coming for me. I still can't believe my family hired you. I didn't think they knew what I was up to.
Well, a family with means has its ways.
Ellie raised an eyebrow.
You saying my family's rich?
I hear they're richer than King Tut.
Ellie laughed and patted him on the back.
You're funny.
Kip chuckled along, but wasn't sure what she meant by that. All he knew was that he wanted those twins to take their sweet time. This was wonderful. He was enjoying himself.
If he didn't know any better, he'd say Ellie was enjoying herself too.
He walked by a bed of red and yellow tulips, and Kip remembered what Susie had told him. He picked a yellow tulip and handed it to Ellie.
Wow, this is quite the rescue. Flowers and a fountain stroll? Was this all your idea?
I wish it was. The twins told me to bring you here. This is the meetup spot before taking you home.
These twins you're talking about, are these friends of yours?
Kip looked confused. No, they said they're your relatives. Their names are Soy...
Oh, look!
Ellie pointed to a series of heart-shaped green leaf arches up ahead. Red and white flowers bloomed along their curves.
Let's go through those.
Okay. Ellie yanked Kip through the arches. She held Kip's hand over her head and did a little ballerina twirl under it. They both laughed. When they reached the other end, Ellie didn't let go of his hand.
What were you saying?
She asked, the green eyes sparkling under the fountain light. Kip found himself at a loss for words, admiring her beauty. I'm glad they chose me for the job. Ellie smiled.
Me too.
She noticed a restroom nearby.
I need to make a little pit stop. I'll be back in a few.
Take your time. Ellie ran over to the little building. Behind one of the fountains, Sawyer and Susie watched.
What are we waiting for?
Sawyer asked Susie.
The guidebook says to leave them alone, Susie said. Can't you see why? They're hitting it off.
Is this all we're supposed to do? Stand here and follow them around like a couple of creeps?
You're just upset that you lost your llama.
You saw what he did back there. He's a hero.
It was amazing, but we couldn't take him home even if we wanted to. You really think Grandpa would let us keep a llama at the house? Especially once he remembers getting spit on so much?
Sawyer groaned.
I guess not. So what next?
We wait for the next set of instructions.
Kip was starting to get worried. He walked over to the bathroom.
Ellie? Ellie, is everything okay in there?
Muffled yells were coming from the trees around back. Kip ran around the bathroom and found men in white suits running out the back door with Ellie in their arms.
Ellie!
Kip chased after them, but before he could get to her, they jumped into a black SUV and sped off.
No!
Sawyer and Susie couldn't believe their eyes.
Why did the guidebook tell them to come here if the bad guys knew they were here?
Susie frantically flipped through the guidebook, but no new instructions were appearing. Suddenly, the fountain in front of them grew taller and taller. Pillars of water crisscrossed and curved over their heads. Wind swirled around them, pulling the water with it. Soon, a tunnel of water enveloped them until...
Hey, Rocketeers, I hope you enjoyed that episode of Grandpa's Globe, Season 3 Time Spinners. I want to thank my mom, Roxanne Webb, for helping edit the story, and Jeremy from Zappods.com for helping edit the audio. And, of course, I want to thank you, Rocketeers, for your support and your feedback. Thank you so much. Please continue to tell your friends and family about these stories. Share your favorite episodes with them. Spread the word. Thank you so much, Rocketeers. You're amazing. Until next time. This is your host, Greg Webb.